ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Russia's war in Ukraine front and center at the G7 summit in Italy. G7 leaders agreeing to lend Ukraine $50 billion. President Biden at a briefing says to help Ukraine build its own military and defense systems.
This week, the G7 signed a plan to finalize and unlock $50 billion from the proceeds of those frozen assets. To put that money to work for Ukraine, another reminder to Putin, we're not backing down.
President Biden, also joined by Ukraine's President Zelensky, signing a security agreement between the U.S. and Ukraine. A breakdown in talks for a ceasefire deal for Hamas and Israel. U.S. officials say Hamas's demands are unworkable and are urging Hamas to return to the current proposal. A Justice Department civil rights investigation finds the Phoenix Police Department has engaged in, quote, a pattern or practice of violating people's civil rights, including discriminating against minorities and unjustified excessive force. This is ABC News. New details in the hot tub electrocution death of an American at a Mexican resort.
Under policy, Sonora's attorney general only releases the first names and ages of victims and says 43-year-old Jorge was killed and 35-year-old Lizeth was injured. Sources tell ABC News they were a couple on vacation from El Paso. The two American tourists were in a jacuzzi at a Mexican resort when they were electrocuted. Other hotel guests screamed for help and pulled them out, starting CPR on one. The Sonoran attorney general says a forensic analysis is being done to determine the origin of the electrical failure. Alex Stone, ABC News.
For the second day, the Acropolis in Athens, Greece, partially closed to tourists. It's one of the country's most popular ancient sites, but it will shut down in the afternoon due to excessive heat. Temperatures expected to reach around 104 degrees. Primary and nursery schools are also closed due to heat. Officials are also on alert for wildfires. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Prices much lower than a grocery store. Wine, spirits, beer for a whole lot less. Walking down the aisles makes you stop and say, yes. With thousands of bottles that you get to explore, Total Wine has everything you need and more. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. A citizen effort for change in Milwaukee public schools begins.
Today we all stand in solidarity saying enough is enough.
A group called the MPS School Board Recall Collaborative announced Wednesday its move to remove 4 members from the city's school board. The initiative's leader, Dr. Tamika Johnson, says the effort is based on a lack of transparency by the board and the district.
This board and administration work to hide the truth from the public, to push a false narrative about the need for more funding.
Voters in the district approved a $250 million referendum in April. A month later, it was learned that MPS was several months behind on reporting financial data to the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. That's led to DPI delaying millions of dollars in state aid to the district. Two girls from Oshkosh have died after their ATV crashed into a car. The Winnebago County Sheriff's Office says 11-year-old Mesa Friedenhagen and 7-year-old Kennedy Harris died from the Tuesday afternoon crash in the town of Utica. One of the girls died at the scene. The other was hospitalized and later died. The 43-year-old woman from Oshkosh driving the car involved in the crash suffered minor injuries. She and her 13-year-old son, who was her passenger in the car, assisted in first aid efforts for the girls. A Milwaukee restaurant is forced to temporarily shut down after a November incident. The Milwaukee Common Council decided Wednesday to suspend the license of a Qdoba restaurant on the city's east side. Customer Scott Seward tells Fox 6 Milwaukee what happened after he began eating a burrito from the restaurant.
I bit into something hard, and I'm thinking, what is this? I reached in my mouth, and I pulled out a razor blade.
The city's health department says the blade matched one from a bag cutter tool at the restaurant. Seward wasn't hurt. The council ordered the restaurant be closed for 10 days due to the incident. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true. We take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sun this afternoon with a few shots of showers or storms. Highs today smack the mid-80s, and as the cold front passes, we will see sunshine to end the day and cooler temperatures more comfortable tomorrow. The drier air and low 80s will feel great. Call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 79.
The Allen.
Well, welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for joining us here on the program as we talk issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. An exciting show today. Coming up, we'll talk with Kansas Senator Roger Marshall. We'll look at fertilizer markets with Josh Linville from Stone X. And we'll also talk the June WASD report more with Jacob Burks from AgMarket.net coming up later in the show. Let's not waste any time, though. Joining us now to kick things off of the program, USDA Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is with us. And Mr. Secretary, welcome back to AOA. Hope you're doing well.
Well, I am, and I hope you are doing well. Congratulations on the newborn.
Thank you.
Exciting opportunity for life-changing experiences.
Yes, very much so, very much so. And doing my best, everyone happy and healthy. So thank you for the well wishes. I appreciate that. We have a number of topics to talk about. Let's dive in. And first, of course, H5N1, a spread of the avian flu in dairy herds in the U.S. This has been an ongoing issue that has been very impactful. USDA, you guys have been doing a lot of work to try and help producers with their concerns with H5N1. So just what's the latest, Mr. Secretary, on where things stand with the spread of H5N1 and what USDA is doing to help producers?
You know, this is an important conversation to have, and it starts with making sure that your listeners understand the difference between what we're dealing with on the poultry side and what we're dealing with on the dairy side. On the poultry side, we're dealing with a virus that kills. So it's relatively simple. You depopulate the virus-stricken flock, you disinfect the facility, you wait a bit, and then the farmer gets back in business. That is not the case with reference to dairy. The good news is that cows survive. They get sick for a period of time, a short period of time. they recover. Maybe their production is impacted a bit, but for all intents and purposes, they get back to normal. And that's a good thing. We know that the milk that they produce ultimately is safe because of pasteurization. We know the beef that is produced from those cows at some point in time is also safe based on our testing. And we know that it is very little at this point in time, low risk to people. Having said that, it's very disruptive, obviously, to dairy herds that have been hit by this. The good news is that we're learning more about what to do. We know now that it's not just the movement of cows that can cause the spread of this. We know that it's the movement of people that come and go on a farm. It's the movement of vehicles that come and go on a farm. It's the movement of equipment that come and goes on a farm to which the virus attaches and moves itself into a different operation and causes havoc there. So the key, I think, first and foremost, was for us to restrict movement to make sure that sick cows weren't going across state line causing further problems. And then secondly, it was to begin placing a strong emphasis on biosecurity, making sure that those people, those trucks, those vehicles, that equipment doesn't come on the farm or leave the farm with virus. And to do that, we've provided a series of financial incentives, if you will, or financial payments to help farmers develop a plan of enhanced biosecurity and implement that plan, to do consistent and ongoing testing, providing help and assistance with the veterinarian costs that are associated with sick cows. We're making sure that as samples are taken, that farmers are not incurring additional expense for the mailing of those samples. We're making sure that as they dispose of milk, to do so in a safe way. If there are costs associated with that, we want to be in a position to help. And finally, recognizing that production does get impacted by this virus, we're developing an expansion of our Emergency Livestock Assistance Program, ELAP, that will provide some degree of assistance and help and reimbursement for the loss of production for a period of time. So we're making an effort to try to mitigate the transfer of this virus in the hopes that we can contain it and eventually have it burn itself out in herds and ultimately in states. In the meantime, we also have a number of scientists, including those in the private sector, that are working on a variety of vaccine opportunities, which we hope over time will result in an ability to mitigate the consequences of this even further.
Turning our attention to the Packers and Stockyards Act, there has been some new steps taken from USDA as well here in the last week or so. Looking at fair markets for poultry markets and other things, talk about some of those proposed next steps in terms of the Packers and Stockyards Act for us.
Well, this is really designed to make sure that the playing field is level between the producer and the integrator. Obviously, we want people to continue to have an opportunity to grow and raise and ultimately profit from poultry. But to do so, they need to make sure that they go into these relationships eyes wide open, which is why we ask for additional transparency and additional information, if you will, so that farmers can make informed choices. And then once we're in the system, we really would like to be able to have farmers rely on a base pay, a guarantee, if you will, of the amount that will actually be paid. What we've seen in the marketplace is that farmers think they had that base pay, that guaranteed baseline, if you will, and that the tournament system would allow them to increase the payment with certain steps and criteria. Well, the problem was that in some cases, folks were basically docking or reducing that base pay, which put the farmers in quite a difficult circumstance. So the new rule basically says we want the folks to have the ability to be guaranteed, if you will, of that base pay. And then if there are additions, we want to make sure that those are determined in a fair and impartial way, that some producers are not given an unfair advantage, if you will, to gain those additional payments. So it's really just about fundamental fairness and making sure that farmers are treated fairly and there's a balanced approach in that relationship.
I know we're short on time. I want to ask you real quick in terms of the farm bill, and I want to frame this up maybe a different way than some folks have asked you. We've obviously started to see some movement here on Capitol Hill, but at the end of the day, this farm bill effort is a bipartisan effort traditionally. It feels very partisan right now. In your opinion, what is it going to take for lawmakers to sit down and hammer through their differences and figure out a new five-year farm bill that so many folks in agriculture are hoping to see soon?
Well, I think it's important for everybody to have realistic expectations. I mean, we're living in a constrained resource environment. the House of Representatives is about ready to consider our budget that would begin in October if it were passed on time. And they're proposing a reduction in our budget. So obviously we're living in constrained resource times. There are efforts to try to increase significantly the funding in this in the Farm Bill, and basically using budget, gimmicks, to basically sort of gloss over the cost of these new items. And I think it's going to be important for all of us to have realistic expectations about what can be done in this constrained resource environment, and to do it in a way that really responds to the greatest need that exists out there in the countryside. If its reference price increases for a small select group of farmers, then it needs to be reasonable, and it needs to be financed in a way that's legitimate. If it means additional support for crop insurance and making it easier for farmers to have access to that risk management tool, then again, we need to be able to identify the real source of the resource and the money that will pay for that new opportunity or that expanded opportunity. So I think the key here is getting to a point where everyone has the same level of expectation. I think right now there's a pretty wide gulf between the parties, between the House and the Senate, and between folks in those two chambers. And until those expectations are sort of right-sized, I think we're going to continue to have a bit of a difficulty getting to yes, which I think everyone wants to and understands the need to get to yes.
With that, we appreciate the time. We will let you go. USDA Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, Mr. Secretary, thanks for joining us on AOA. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next on AOA, we'll talk with Kansas Senator Roger Marshall on the way right after the break. Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
From grain and livestock market analysis to policy updates affecting agriculture, the latest agricultural weather, ag news headlines, and much more, we have you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. Get up-to-the-minute information with the American Ag Network on air, online, and on demand. Find us on your favorite social media platforms and follow the American Ag Today podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Everyone knows how important calcium-rich milk and dairy products are to building strong bones and teeth in children. But something you might not know, the calcium in milk has been shown to reduce hypertension in adults. So relax with a tall, cool one and raise a toast to good health and to your local dairyman.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work. And this June Dairy Month message is being brought to you by Synergy Co-op, your LS tractor dealer. Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
In
informing America's farmers and ranchers. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, earlier this week, Senate Republicans released their farm bill framework as we continue to have movement on getting a new five-year farm bill done on Capitol Hill. Joining us now to tell us more about some of the details with the Senate Republican framework and talk farm bill and other issues in D.C., Kansas Senator Roger Marshall is back with us here on AOA. Senator, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, Jesse, good morning to you and your listeners, and I'm so glad you mentioned this is a five-year bill, and that's so important, and we've got this, we need to get this right, and I'm so proud of the progress we've made here in the last couple weeks, proud of the work that Senator Bozeman, who's our Republican lead on this bill, that we got our framework out here.
Well, let's talk about this a little bit, and I know a lot of the talk from Republicans, of course, has been putting farm back in the farm bill, and I know there's been some differences between the parties, and we can get to that in a minute, but lay this out for us and for our listeners, Senator. What are some of the big keys that you have laid out on the Senate side as we try to figure out this farm bill?
Yeah, exactly. I do think that we put farm back in the farm bill. We've all went out and sat on the tongue of the wagon and listened to our producers. And what we know is that crop insurance is the backbone of every farm bill. And we know that reference prices are an issue. So those two were never addressed by our friends across the aisle. They were not adequately addressed, that they weren't the priorities in their farm bill. So we've worked together. And we beefed up the crop insurance. We allow you to have a higher, you can have higher limits. And obviously crop insurance is getting much more expensive, so it's going to cost the federal government a little bit more money. The reference price issue, we've been fighting that one for 5 years right now. Again, input costs are so high that we needed to have that reflected in the reference prices so that your producers that are listening, when they are accessing their ARC or PLC programs, we call that Title I funding up here, when they access those, we start off with a better base. So, Gary, those are the two most significant parts to me of putting farm back in the farm bill.
Well, in terms of some of the differences with your Democratic colleagues, we've seen this in the House as well. They seem to be talking a lot about the SNAP program, of course, and protecting the nutrition title. And it just feels like that's one of the biggest chasms, so to speak, between the parties here trying to figure out this farm bill. Talk to us about that and some of the talk between Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill right now.
Yeah, so when we think about SNAP, the nutrition programs, food stamps, all those types of things, in our framework, there is no cut in SNAP. Now, you're going to hear something differently, but there is no cut in our SNAP programs. Want to remind everybody that the previous farm bill allotted about $60 billion a year for those SNAP programs. Ours has $120 billion a year in it. So really, we've doubled the funding for SNAP, and no one's talking about the other monies in addition to farm bill monies. There's another $60 billion a year in other nutrition programs as well. So we've at least doubled the SNAP program, and we put some integrity around it. Maybe that's what the Democrats are upset about. We'll wait and see. I think if they'll read the fine print of our outline, is that we protect SNAP. We don't want anyone to go to bed hungry. I think the other bigger chasm right now is the conservation programs. That Senator Stabenow, she's obviously the Democrat chairperson, what she's done is put such tight guardrails around the conservation programs that my farmers and ranchers won't be able to use them. The way she has this set up is that you have to comply with every one of the conservation framework in order to qualify for EQIP or most any conservation program. And I know some of your listeners can't do cover crops. Certainly the western third of Kansas, we cannot do cover crops. We'd love to, but there's simply not enough moisture. Another big concern is their air quality control standards. We won't be able to comply with those. It would be the end of cattle feeding and dairies in Kansas. And again, it's going to block us out from being able to use any of those conservation programs. So I think we'll figure SNAP out. We do want the integrity part of it, but we got to do some work on the conservation programs yet.
What about in terms of rural development? That's something that we haven't talked a whole lot about, but I know there's plenty of talk in the news out there about things like the Reconnect program and the ACP program, things like that, and obviously trying to make sure that there's high-speed internet and broadband and more for rural areas. Are there any provisions looking at rural development things in the Farm Bill?
Yeah, exactly. I'd probably say about 5% of a farm bill is typically dedicated towards rural economic development. We've got some child care money in here. Certainly, that's every round table I sit down and do across rural America, within 5 minutes, someone's going to talk about child care issues. And then, of course, they're going to talk about challenges with high-speed internet. What we're doing out in agro right now from a conservation standpoint is incredible. A lot of that depends on precision agriculture, which means downloading volumes and volumes of data. So what our Farm Bill framework does is give some consistent five-year funding to make sure we get high-speed internet out. Like, our goal would be 100 over 100, if that means anything to anybody, but get 100 over 100 out to everywhere. And then, of course, there's always dollars in here to help with healthcare issues, whether maybe it's a new clinic or a new hospital or remodeling a hospital, those types of things. The money in here for mental health. We, as you know, we have a high incidence of suicide, farmer suicide, so there's some monies in here to try to address that situation as well.
We are talking with Kansas Senator Roger Marshall here today on AOA. Senator, another topic as well, and I just talked to Secretary Vilsack in segment one, and I know that on the House side with their Farm Bill framework, there's been talk of restricting some of the Secretary's use of the Commodity Credit Corporation funds. And does the Senate framework that Republicans have laid out, does that do some of the same similar to what we've seen on the House side?
You know, absolutely. And with all due respect to Secretary Vilsack, he's been using those CCC funds as a green conservation fund to fund his pet environmental projects. Look, farmers and ranchers, we were the original conservationists. We're going to do that. Just give us the tools, give us some freedoms, and save the CCC dollars for what their purpose was. President Trump used those when there was some tariff issues and helped to keep the farmers afloat. So we need to save it for when commodities are impacted, if they were not meant for conservation dollars. So, yeah, we redirect those dollars to farmers. Isn't that an incredible thought?
Well, definitely. And, of course, our farmers and ranchers, to your point, the original stewards of the land and doing a lot of great things. And, of course, trying to figure this Farm Bill out and get them 5 years of support, updated support, as we were talking about at the beginning of the segment. So with all this in mind and movement here, I know we still have a little ways to go to figure this all out, Senator Marshall. What are the prospects of getting this done before the end of the year with the election cycle and everything else in front of us right now?
Right. So, I think that we'll have to do an extension. Jesse, I don't see how we're going to get through these hurdles. On the one hand, we're not really far apart, but your listeners, again, you know what it's like. You're going in to try a brand new combine. You've decided on the header, what technology you need, those types of things, the attachments, but you've agreed on everything but the price. So we haven't figured out how to move these dollars around. And to be frank, it looks like to me that Senator Stabenow, the Democrats' priorities are the nutrition programs and the conservation rules. And I want everyone to have food. Don't want anyone to go hungry. The Republicans' priorities are put farm back in the Farm Bill to take care of crop insurance and the reference prices. If they're not willing to move on those, then we're going to sit tight. And frankly, we think that John Bozeman, the Republican from Arkansas, will be the chairperson next year, the way the elections are looking. And frankly, if Republicans control that Senate, we'll have a much stronger farm bill for rural America. So we'll get through this and then give the farmers 5 years of certainty. So I'm not going to sign a bad deal. That's just the bottom line. I'm not going to take a bad deal.
Well, we appreciate the time today. We got about 30 seconds real quick. Have you heard anything on early wheat harvest in Kansas, Senator?
Well, what I'm hearing is that about a third of the crop is going to be really bad due to the drought. We still have four counties that are in emergency drought conditions. A third of it's going to be really good. and a third of it mediocre. So at the end of the day, it's probably an average crop across the state. But I think they're getting started, and sure enough, I remember working on the farm myself. We're ready to combine the wheat, and then it starts raining. So that's kind of what we're hearing right now. We're bogged down in a lot of the southern parts of the state. We're having our afternoon thunderstorms, but we'll get through it, and we're grateful for the rain.
Definitely. Of course, you know, you get that rain when you don't want it. That seems to happen every year. Well, with that, we appreciate the time. Kansas Senator Roger Marshall, thanks for joining us on AOA, sir. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jesse. Glad to talk to you.
All right. Kansas Senator Roger Marshall joining us to talk Farm Bill here on AOA. Up next, we'll look at fertilizer markets with Josh Linville from StoneX right after this.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, July milk up 42 to 21.02, August up 48 to 21.55, September up 33 to 21.15, October milk up 17 to 20.52. Meanwhile, cattle markets, they were mostly higher in the live cattle markets, but lower in feeder cattle markets, as the trade is still trying to find some support in the cash cattle markets. While there has been a lack of cash markets, there's still expectations of higher cash markets here this week. Meanwhile, hog markets, they were mostly lower on the day as the trade continues to look for some type of support from the demand side, but midday pork cutout values were lower, and that pressured the hogs. June live cattle up $1.17 to $184.82. August feeder cattle down 10 cents to $257.47. June hogs down 27 cents to $91.75. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all were mostly higher on the day. Now, while the weather is considered okay now, some of the weather models are hinting at a high-pressure ridge that could develop next week, which would produce heat and dryness in the southern and eastern belt, and that is being watched by the trade. New crop corn up 7.25 to 4.76. New crop beans up 13 to 11.60 1/4. July wheat up 3.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Thanks for sticking with us here on AOA today. Let's turn our attention to the world of fertilizer. What is happening in the fertilizer markets and much more. Here for a conversation with us today, he is the Vice President of Fertilizer for StoneX in Kansas City. Josh Linville is with us. Josh, welcome back to the show, buddy. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I got a full night's sleep. How about you?
We'll call it a half night's sleep. The baby boy is slowly getting closer to sleeping through the night, but we're still kind of that 3-4 hour regimen where he's wide awake and hungry. So, you know. Yep.
Well, all of us seasons, mom and dad, we feel sorry for you, but we also giggle a little bit because we had to do that too.
That's exactly what I've heard from everyone. They say, hey, I know how it goes, but also have fun. So, you know, everything's going good though. So, and I haven't completely lost my train of thought yet doing a show. So things must be going all right. Let's talk fertilizer. Get us up to speed. It looks like prices have still been fairly steady to lower in most categories, just from what I've seen on the retail side. Big headlines. What's standing out to you? Is there anything big of note right now you're paying attention to, Josh?
The biggest ones we're watching right now, urea market globally. We had a lot of bearishness in the global markets. It looked like Chinese exports were starting to resume, and they are a major, major player. They're the big boogeyman out there. So when people saw them coming back, prices started to slide. A lot of other production was doing okay. And so we were like, okay, good. We're getting back in decent ranges. Well, here the last several weeks, we've actually started to see a lot of global demand starting to step up. We've seen some production hiccups. Egypt is a great example. They are the fourth largest exporter of urea in the world. And with their heat wave, demand for natural gas has spiked, and the government stepped in and said, hey, we need these gas supplies that are remaining for the people. We're shutting down the industrial side. So urea production there has ceased for a little while. China, the government stepped in and said, yeah, we've seen domestic prices starting to go up. We're going to block now the exports for a short time and try and get this thing figured out. So we quickly went from one that felt like we were doing pretty well. We were finally getting these prices down to a decent level, and they've jumped up. I mean, Egypt got down to 280s. Currently 350. Middle East values got down to the 270s. Now they're up into 350. So a lot of jumping. Now, we haven't seen the U.S. market move quite as much. We saw some summer barges trading in the 275 for Gulf of Mexico. Right now, 320, 325 seems to be the market. So not quite the same movement, but definitely a bullish trend.
Well, and watching some of that global movement, of course, and we think about the impacts it could have on the U.S., of course, and our farmers. And I mean, obviously, now we're into the growing season, but we're always thinking ahead to fall application, things like that. Could we see any challenges with transportation, et cetera? So, I mean, are you putting a lot of focus on thinking about some of those fall needs already, or do we got some time?
Yeah, we've got a little bit of time, but it goes fast. It's like, you know, having a baby. That time goes quick, even though it seems like you're in the rut of it and it's just taking forever. So when we look at the fall, we're focusing on three things, right? We're looking at phosphate, we're looking at potash, and we're looking at anhydrous. Anhydrous is relatively easy. We did have a big fall, a big spring. That will go into this next fertilizer year fairly low on inventories, but ultimately speaking, we got faith. The market can get everything in place that it needs to do. Potash feels very well supplied out there. It feels okay today, though we are keeping tabs on the Canadian rail strike situation. Mm-hmm. Talks continue to fall apart there. And if it does turn into a work stoppage, we do need to be concerned about potash shipments, the ability to get that in place. Jesse, the one that worries me is phosphate. The Department of Commerce came in, and a lot of folks, myself included, had hoped that they were going to reduce or remove the duties against at least Moroccan phosphate and help to improve our supplies. They didn't. In fact, they actually made them higher. We won't hear the next round of news until November. We are seeing prices about 100, and this is again Gulf of Mexico, but we'll see similar up in the countryside. Prices are about $100 a ton higher than where they were same time last year. And if you go back to corn prices, so last year we were looking at December 24 for that year ahead. Those corn prices got up into the 550s. We're 480 today. Phosphate is a very, very tough situation. It's one that honestly, it's starting to get into that realm that we're starting to have that conversation of, do we think there's going to be some demand destruction where farmers reduce their application rates? you know, drag their feet and put it on the winter, put it on the next spring? Or will they soil test and realize I can get by without it this year? Because when you look at that corn phosphate ratio, this is one of the worst situations we've seen in a while.
Talking with Josh Linville, VP of Fertilizer at Stone X. Well, and I think about this too, Josh. If a farmer is making some forward sales right now on, you know, new crop corn in particular, but not locking in some of those inputs like phosphate, things like that, I feel like that's just got to be a very tough conversation, and one that, you know, might make someone pause a little bit locking in some futures contracts on the grain side because they don't know some of the shifts that could happen in the fertilizer market right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those situations. That's why we push this program so hard. I mean, you know, we've talked about this how many times in the past. I look at farming, at least from the marketing side, from a very simplistic point of view. It's manufacturing. It's all about inputs and outputs. You go to a manufacturer of anything else out there, they're not looking at trying to buy the low, sell the high. They're trying to get that differential in between. They're trying to get it when it hits a range. And actually, that's what set off the urea market globally, is global wheat buyers, farmers started to see the price and said, yeah, there might be some more downside, but my wheat price is phenomenal. Buy the fertilizer, sell the grain. I love this relationship. And that's where we continue to push it. We had a phenomenal opportunity on the corn urea side. That's moved higher by about 10, 15 bushels per ton of urea. Phosphate, like I said, we are sitting at that line between the middle 50% and the worst 25%.
Well, and I think about all these global issues as well. And we know, I think we've seen in the past just how quickly things can change at the drop of a hat here in the fertilizer markets, especially with the various wars going on and where a lot of our supply comes from around the world. You think Russia, the Black Sea region, Belarus, China, Brazil, Egypt. These are a lot of areas where there's a lot of conflict right now, Josh.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, and when you start to sit there and look at the important parties, and we're just finishing up our 2024 global trade book. Yeah, it's always an interesting thing to walk through the different products and look at the top 10 exporters in the world. And you start to see there's a lot of folks in that top 10 that are in countries or regions that you may not consider real friendly to the Western world. We think that they are needing to continue to ship these products out. Obviously, it's an income flow. It's something that their government, their economy needs. But at the same point, if all of a sudden they decide to put their foot down and shut them off, we are dealing with a very, very tough situation. And with a lot of new production around the world not being based in some of the Western countries, it only gets tougher.
Very, very true. Very, very true. What have you heard from growers here this spring? I know we've had some challenges with rain in some areas. As you've talked with folks, and I know there's been some replant talk out there. I mean, have we seen a lot of loss of N, for instance, on some fields that were going to go to corn, things like that? I mean, what have you heard as you've taken stock of the situation here this spring planting season, Josh?
Well, with it being delayed like it is, I can't say that we've got a lot of feedback just yet, but I think it's something we need to be concerned about. And honestly, the delayed planting, which is delayed the side dress, is actually one of those things that helped out. You look at anhydrous prices have been sliding a little bit. UAN prices have been sliding. Urea, just because that is such a global product, has been kind of turning the corner and starting to move a little bit higher. But yeah, it is a concern. It is, from the one hand, it's tough. We want to get the season done. We want to go ahead and move forward. We want to get to the 4th of July and not have to worry about this stuff. We want to convert over to summer. This year, it's helped to elongate this thing. Yeah, that's helped some supply situations. But it's also tough. But as far as that goes, I think there should be some concern that there's going to be some reapplication to replace what might have been lost on the replants and all that. But given that it's going to be later on in the year, hopefully the supplies will be able to get in place and help offset that.
You know, another thought too here that we can kind of wrap up on, I'll throw this at you. And, you know, there's obviously a lot of different things like biologicals out there in the marketplace. And there's been a lot of talk about that in recent years. Is that something that you're hearing farmers are maybe replacing some of their fertilizer use with some of these other products that are out there being marketed right now, Josh?
That's a tough one. And I think it depends on the market. When you look back the last couple of years, and I'm talking about the period where these fertilizer prices were either at or very near record high prices, I do think it was starting to kind of take a chunk out of the marketplace. I think people were looking at it and saying, you know what, with the price of the inputs being where they're at, I'll give these other things a shot just in the off chance it actually works. Now, even though we're talking about some of these products being a little bit higher priced than what they were, they are still closer to what they were historically. And I think the biologicals and things are going to take a little bit of a demand hit because, yeah, you go out and you try the new things in any sort of an attempt to cut it when the prices are sky high. But when you start to get back to historical normals, you start to get back to application normals and people start saying, hey, just go ahead and throw it on the field. We'll be okay.
Well, Josh, always appreciate the time and the insight. I got to give you a plug real quick. I know you just launched your own YouTube channel, youtube.com/@Josh_Linville. And I know you're going to be posting some various weekly updates, things like that there with the fertilizer market, aren't you?
Yeah. Marketing department, they did a great job on updating our media room. And they asked me, hey, you know, all the other stuff that you're doing, we just updated the media room. Would you start doing this? And initial reaction was, no, I don't like listening to myself talk. I sure don't like watching myself. But I was like, no, you know what? You guys did a lot of work on this, did a great job. I'll give it a shot. So yeah, I'm sorry if anybody's expecting to see me do like the kids do and go buy like a Ferrari and drive through the cornfield and burn it up or something. I'm not going to be that guy, but I'll try and hit some points.
Well, we might turn you into a broadcaster. Yeah, we always appreciate your time here on the show. With that, Josh Linville, Vice President of Fertilizer at Stodax. Josh, good to talk with you again, my friend. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, sir.
Once again, Josh Linville there with Stodax. All right, coming up next, we're going to take a look at the June WASDE report that came out on Wednesday. Jacob Burks with AgMarket.net will join us for markets on the way right after this.
NTech is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTech grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
Join Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to discover, taste, and celebrate Wisconsin dairy during June Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheese can be found in 99% of grocery stores across the country? Just look for the Proudly Wisconsin Cheese badge at your local grocery store to support Wisconsin family farms. Taste the finest Wisconsin dairy products across the state or visit a dairy breakfast on the farm to learn more about Wisconsin dairy.
This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Bauer Seeds and Service, your pioneer seed dealer serving Western Wisconsin.
Which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? With Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bauer Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
With the National Corn Growers Association, we hear from NCGA lead economist Krista Swanson as we talk about the latest news surrounding 40B and 45Z tax credit incentives for sustainable aviation fuel, the biofuel industry, and the updated GREET modeling for farmers to participate.
So this updated model requires farmers to bundle the use of no-till practices, enhanced efficiency fertilizers, and cover crops in order to meet the standards that are now required for the eventual SAF to qualify for the tax credit. And now this is really concerning to National Corn Growers Association because this model requires farmers to implement environmental practices that just aren't practical for every corn acre across the really large and expansive geographic region in which corn is grown in the U.S.
Hear the full conversation on the AOA podcast channel and have your voice heard and learn more at ncga.com.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together, we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, before we wrap up the show today, let's talk markets. June WASDE report out on Wednesday. Fairly quiet report. A few things of note, though, that we should talk about, take a look at. Joining us now, Jacob Burks with agmarket.net. Jacob, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Jesse. I sure appreciate being on.
Well, as we look at the market action here Thursday, a little bit of green in the grains. Overall, felt like the markets digested the June WASDE report pretty well. And the June report, Jacob, is usually a pretty quiet report, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's you kind of had to go back and remind yourself that there was a report yesterday. I think we were trading, you know, the weather just as soon as it came out, and rightfully so. Whenever the USDA made absolutely zero changes to last year's balance sheet or this year's balance sheet in the corn market, it just made for you know, quiet trade there, which is fine. You go through there, there's not a lot to change. The market is looking for the two major reports that are at the end of the month, and just in a couple of weeks we'll see not only the planning, the final plant number, but we'll also see that quarterly stocks number. And if you're out there looking around at what's going on in the basis, what's going on with old crop, I think that's got everybody wondering right now is, hey, did they overestimate the yield? That's the biggest question that you have. And that's what we're getting every day. And I don't know that that has to be the case. I don't know that's what the case is. You know, the farmer's been very reluctant to sell whenever these prices have dropped. They've gotten pretty stubborn, and we're seeing a move up there. But back to the report, you did see some bean movement just slightly. And I thought the big question was, you know, what's going on in the wheat? And that was kind of what we were looking for yesterday globally.
Yeah, and the Russian crop cut 5 million metric tons, and feels like the trades may be waiting for some more cuts there down the road. You know, this wheat market's just been hammered as of late. But Tuesday we got a rally, then we gave some of it back Wednesday. Now we're a little green here on Thursday. So, I mean, this wheat market, it just feels like it's a little oversold maybe here, trying to find some support, Jacob.
Well, I think, yeah, yesterday we stopped the 9-day bleeding process from what we had put into the market over the last, you know, month. So fears of lack of production globally really pushed that market strong. I mean, wheat's a product that you don't want to run out of. And when you hear about a frost to the largest exporter and then dryness right after, it does make the market a little bit leery of where we could be. I think there's some stabilization that's happened. The forecast got a little bit better over there. You know, one of the first questions I asked my team yesterday was hey, did the USDA cut enough? What are we hearing? I think everybody's thought process was right now, yes. I think Silvicon is at 81 or 80 million metric tons. I'm not sure exactly, but we're slightly over that at 83, what the USDA brought Russia's crop down to. And, you have to look at this, too. This is another communist country that has a lot going on geopolitically across the country, across the world. And we're questioning what we're seeing out of there. I don't know what we would trust exactly. You look kind of like China's corn yields last year. There was just, late did they get, resolved to what we really see. But the wheat market, yes, that was the first thing that I looked at yesterday was what did they do to the global numbers? And I think that they took enough out, it stabilized it, and hopefully we can see just a little bit of a bounce here. You're going to start to see that Chicago-KC spread come back. This is about the third day in a row where we've seen Chicago gain on KC, and I think that's a little bit reflective of what we're seeing out in the plains with some better-than-expected weather and just some better-than-expected yields coming out of some of those wheat fields in Oklahoma, Panhandle, Texas.
We're talking with Jacob Burks from AgMarket.net. I know Thursday morning, CONAB out with their revised Brazilian estimates, and looked like they're maybe closing the gap a little bit between their estimates and USDA. USDA didn't really make any changes on South American production on the June WASD report. Your thoughts on some of those numbers and what we've seen out of South America?
Yeah, I did see where CONAB raised theirs a little bit. I think we're about par now in both corn and beans. I looked at that yesterday as soon as we came. What did we cut from Argentina? And I believe that we took the back seat a little bit and just we cut 1 million metric ton on both Argentina and Brazil. I don't know that the USDA is out of line. They've been reluctant to be aggressive cutters, and they get a lot of flack from that. But at times you think, what are we getting? What kind of reports are we getting? There's three or four or five different private companies there that also put out some information, and they're all over the board. So to making a big, huge, fast jump like that is not big. With as much area as they've increased, I think it's very, very difficult to get an accurate reading early. So I think the USDA's probably handled it the right way. But I do feel like this is a crop that's down there that we still see, huge supply numbers. Now, those supply numbers, I personally don't think that they go in there and affect the tax situation the way they did if they don't feel like they have enough crop that they're going to eventually have to get that to town. So I would say that the numbers that we have right now are pretty accurate to use.
Cattle trade is down a little bit here in futures on Thursday. Weekly export sales were down about 17%, it looked like. Your thoughts on this cattle market here? We're just kind of seeing some positioning type of trade right now. What do you think?
Well, yeah, you say positioning type of trade, but what you're seeing, what that's a result of is just consolidation. I mean, go back and look at the last 2 days. If we had a chart up, we would see that we've moved, but we haven't went anywhere. And I think that that's a little bit of, what we're seeing. I didn't even get a chance today to look at what exports were in beef and hogs. But I can say that if we're not continuing to grow that, we're importing a lot of beef from Mexico, from Australia, and even Canada. Like, we're going to continue to see some of those numbers come in and affect things. But it all boils down to me. I mean, I look at the first thing I look at is what's the retail, side of the thing doing? What's the demand side doing? And as long as we continue to keep our demand at a decently strong spot, mm-hmm. There's just not the cattle out there. Look at what the barns are doing. These online sales that we're seeing 6 weeks ago for over $300 a pound easy. And I just don't see where they're going. And when you look at break evens for what they're paying for some of these, there's some expectations that this live cattle market is going to go higher. That's for sure.
Yeah, we're going to keep tabs on it. Keep our eyes on what's happening in the markets. Folks, you reach out to you guys, your team there at agmarket.net. Jacob Burks, appreciate the time having you on here, AOA, with us today. We thank you and have a great weekend.
Yes, appreciate it.
Jacob Burks there with agmarket.net. We're out of time on AOA. Have a good one. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to Agriculture of America. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make...
With T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save. Because nobody likes having to choose. It's like getting romance and sci-fi.
I love you. Also, I'm a robot.
At T-Mobile, you can get the benefits you want and